The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
If we look to the answer as to why for so many years we achieved so much, prospered as no other people on earth, it was because here in this land, we unleashed the energy and individual genius of man to a greater extent than has ever been done before. Those who say that we're in a time when there are no heroes, they just don't know where to look. The sloping hills of Arlington National Cemetery, with its row upon row of simple white markers bearing crosses or stars of David, they add up to only a tiny fraction of the price that has been paid for our freedom. As for the enemies of freedom, those who are potential adversaries, they will be reminded that peace is the highest aspiration of the American people. We will negotiate for it, sacrifice for it. We will not surrender for it now or ever. We are Americans.
This is the Bob France Authority on AM 1420. The Answer.
Yes, indeed. Good morning. 7 minutes after the hour of the clock, and we are underway on this Wednesday edition. It is the 15th morning of the 12th month of the year of our Lord, 2021. Critical race theory. Still being pumped into the minds of your children across the state of Ohio. The latest example coming from Cincinnati. Tremendous, tremendous reporting on this from Stop Critical Race Theory and Stop Critical Race Theory in Ohio. I got a message yesterday about this. I've got some audio from a recent presentation that was given to Cincinnati educators about critical race theory, and it is extraordinary. It is extraordinary, and it is not limited to Cincinnati. This is just the latest example of the ongoing indoctrination of your children to make them hate one another and hate their country because of its quote-unquote systemic racism. Coming up at 10:10, we're going to talk to Dan Reginald. Dan is the founder of Stop Critical Race Theory and Stop Critical Race Theory in Ohio, and he is going to join us to talk about what's going on in Cincinnati. And perhaps more importantly, Dan is going to talk to us about why it isn't being addressed at the state legislative level. There have been two bills that have been introduced in the General Assembly, or at least in committees in the General Assembly, to stop critical race theory, to ban its teaching in the state of Ohio. And those bills are languishing despite Republican leadership in every single committee. The Republicans have veto-proof majorities in the Ohio State Legislature, and they have the power to do what needs to be done here. But they can't get out of their own way because Ohio Republicans are trash. Let me say it again. Leadership in the state of Ohio, in the ORP, is trash. And it falls from the top down. I could use another word besides trash. You probably have already heard that word. You know what I'm trying to say about what trickles from the top down. But at any rate, leadership is garbage. And yeah, I'm talking to Bob Kupp. Yeah, I'm talking to Matt Huffman. And yeah, I'm talking to every single committee leader in which they could be addressing something that should not take a lot of time nor a lot of discussion or division. We are unanimous as conservative patriots that everyone should be treated equally. We are unanimous in our belief that every child and every adult, be they white or black or brown or green or purple or orange with yellow polka dots, I don't give a rat's behind about it, and neither does anybody else. Everyone should be treated the same. Their colors do not matter. Critical race theory ensures that their colors do matter. That one color is treated as oppressive and the other color is treated as victims. It's wrong, it's divisive, it's dangerous, and it is Marxist. And these bills are languishing in Ohio General Assembly committees with Republicans not doing squat to move on them. It's incomprehensible, and quite frankly, it is unforgivable. And if I had my way, I would primary out every single one of the Republicans who are doing nothing despite the presentation and the introduction of these bills. And yeah, that means the Speaker of the Ohio House, Bob Cupp. That means the Senate President, Matt Huffman. That means Floor Leader Bill Seitz. It means Governor Mike DeWine, certainly in that side of things. All of them. It's simply reprehensible, and it is indefensible. Wow, there's another T-shirt. Reprehensible and indefensible. It works. It's reality. So we're going to talk to Dan Reginald about that coming up at 10:10 this morning. Other than that, we are wide open for your phone calls. I won't call it a free-for-all Wednesday, but I will say we have plenty of time for you, so pick your spots. 216-901-0945, 888-281-1110. Either one of those numbers will get you to me in short order, and we'll get your thoughts up and on the air. But we do have a lot of important news to get to, so let's start getting to it after we say our Pledge of Allegiance. Patriots, please stand. If you have a flag, and there are so many people finding ways, ingenuity at its finest, to put flags in front of them wherever they may be, including in their cars. I told you the other day about one listener who does the pledge with us every single day, and he took a stamp. He took a standard U.S. postage stamp that has a flag on it, and he stuck it to the dashboard of his car so that he can face the flag every morning when we say the Pledge of Allegiance. And I absolutely love it. So, Patriots, please join us. Leftists, Biden supporters, vax mandate supporters, you don't believe in freedom. You don't believe in liberty, which means you don't believe in this flag. So go ahead and sit this one out, or as you are used to doing, go ahead and take your knee.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Speaking of liberty, and this is the reason I kind of say that whenever we do the Pledge of Allegiance, you know, Biden supporters, we know how you feel. You don't believe in liberty. And as evidence of that, I give you, well, President Brandon himself. Yesterday, at a big, giant affair of 400 massive donors at a big Biden Democrat National Committee Christmas gala, a big party to raise money for their Marxist agenda, Joe Biden said he is going to continue fighting for vaccine mandates in complete defiance of the courts. He is going to continue to fight to mandate that you take these untested toxins, these experimental drugs, into your body and just hope for the best. Why, he said? Because there's a pandemic going on, a pandemic of the unvaccinated.
So this is a pandemic of the unvaccinated. The unvaccinated, not the vaccinated, the unvaccinated. That's the problem. And so everybody talks about freedom and not to have a shot or have a test. Well, guess what? And so how about patriotism? How about making sure that you're vaccinated so you do not spread the disease to anybody else? What about that? What's the big deal?
What about that? Asks President Brandon. What's the big deal? What about patriotism? What about not spreading the disease to somebody else? Well, how about the fact that people who are unvaccinated are less likely to be spreading the disease now than people who are vaccinated? How about that? And moreover, how about the number of people who are being hospitalized and dying because they have taken these poisonous shots from the drug cartels known as Pfizer and Moderna? How about the fact that the FDA just released documents, the first 91 pages of 329,000 pages, that show over 150,000 serious adverse events in the first 3 months after Pfizer jab approval? 150,000 just in those first 3 months. And that's yesterday's news. You want the updated news? Here's today's news. A new Columbia University vaccine study has just dropped a bombshell on President Brandon and his, why don't you just take it? What's the big deal? Here's the big deal, Brandon. The VAERS deaths that we were talking about yesterday have been undercounted by a factor of 20. Take the number of deaths that we know that have happened after people received the shots and multiply it by a factor of 20. VAERS, that's the Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting System run by the CDC. And we have been talking about VAERS now in some depth to illustrate how dangerous these profit shots are to people, that they are trying to tell us are the answer to getting our health back. Meanwhile, they give you two and say, didn't work, sorry, get a third. Then they're saying, by the way, third one probably isn't going to be any good against Omicron, so be prepared to get a fourth, fifth, and sixth in March. That's not me. That's them saying so. In fact, let me go a little bit out of order here and give you the CEO of Pfizer admitting there is going to have to be a vaccine for Omicron, even though they're telling you right now, get the booster shot because it'll work on Omicron. How can these people say both of these things out of either side of their mouth? How can they say the booster will deal with Omicron and then say, by the way, in March we'll have an Omicron shot? Wait a minute, didn't you just tell me the booster was going to work? Yeah, but it's not really going to work. Come March, we need to sell you brand new shots, not one, not two, but three. And just listen to this for yourself.
So while that happens, let me also ask you about booster shots and the vaccine in general, and also the Omicron variant. This new South African study showing that the Pfizer shot's only 33% effective against the Omicron variant, but also that people infected with Omicron are less likely to end up in the hospital. Does that mean you will or won't need to roll out an Omicron-specific vaccine, do you think?
We are still waiting to see more data to understand if that there will be a necessity to do that. Actually, the studies in South Africa that we reported, if I'm not mistaken, they are only for two doses, the third dose, and to have studies not necessarily from South Africa, but to other places that they are way more advanced with a booster, is really very, it's way stronger, the protection. So we are seeing already on the 70s, 75% protection in the initial data that we are getting. I don't know if we will need an Omicron vaccine, but what I know is that we cannot take chances with that. So we are moving full speed in developing one. And I know from the studies that we have done so far that if we need to make one, that one will be very effective against Omicron, and that likely will be ready in March, and that will be ready to manufacture it at very big quantities. So
all right. Obviously a thick accent there, but I think you heard most of that. The CEO of Pfizer said, I don't know. I don't know if we're going to need one, but we are going to make one, and it'll be ready in March in big quantities. Do you think they're going to manufacture and put all of that time and effort and expense into developing an Omicron variant vaccine ready to go in March and then not demand that the government demand that it be jammed into people's arms, just like they jammed the first two shots in, just like they're jamming the booster shot in? Do you really think they're gonna manufacture this and then say, oh, we didn't need it? Okay, let's dump it down the drain. Give me a break. So get the two, then get the booster. It'll work against Omicron. And by the way, since we know it won't work against Omicron, we're making an Omicron-specific one that'll be ready in March. Just in time, by the way, for the primaries. That's right, for the electoral primaries in the midterm election cycle of 2022. And that Omicron variant shot will be great until probably August, September, when a new variant will come out, which will be so much worse than Omicron, and it will demand, as we get ready for the November elections, it will demand mail-in, universal mail-in balloting. But I digress. Let's go back to VAERS for just a moment, please. Yesterday's news, 150,000 serious adverse events, including deaths, in the first 3 months after the Pfizer jab got approval from, that's the Pfizer-BioNTech approval from the FDA. New Columbia University vaccine drops a bombshell. Deaths undercounted by a factor of 20. Since the beginning of this whole thing, we have been using VAERS, and now we come to find out that the VAERS system, this is what Dr. Tenpenny told us yesterday, too, by the way. She was ahead of the curve. That VAERS isn't being used enough because most people don't know how to use it to report their adverse effects. And if they do know how, it's a time-consuming process. I mean, there are a lot of very strict protocols that have to be followed here to report a VAERS adverse event, much less a death. Well, thankfully, this new study by Columbia University is expressing all of this, although it's not drawing nearly the attention it deserves. Dr. Robert Malone is the inventor of the mRNA technology that is being used in the Pfizer and Moderna shots. And he noticed the study and broadcast it to his followers on Twitter. So that's rather large. And Dr. Robert Malone tweeted, quote, COVID vaccination and age stratified all-cause mortality risk suggests the risks of COVID vaccines and boosters outweigh the benefits in children, young adults, and older adults with low occupational risk or previous coronavirus exposure. Let me say that again. The risks of the COVID vaccines and boosters outweigh the benefits, says the inventor of the mRNA technology. He then tweeted, we discuss implications for public health policies related to boosters, school and workplace mandates, and the urgent need to identify, develop, and disseminate diagnostics and treatments for life-altering vaccine injuries. I hope that wasn't too much medical jargon to understand. To summarize it, a massive study conducted by the left-wing Ivy League Columbia University, a study that was then supported and reported on by the inventor of the mRNA technology that is used in these vaccines, say that the risks of getting these shots outweighs the potential benefits. Joe Biden says, what about patriotism? And what's the big deal? This is the big deal, Brandon. Maybe you should educate yourself. Maybe you should have somebody type that into your teleprompter for you to trip and fall over. But maybe you should start paying attention to reality. The rest of America is, and that's why you're losing in court, and that's why you're going to be losing even bigger in the court of public opinion. I'll be right back. Little girl gotta hold on me like glue. Baby, I'm howling for you. Okay. So let's dive right back into this. It continues to be the most important story of our time. And this is the forced theft of our own bodily autonomy and our own medical freedom by the federal government. Joe Biden, Brandon, telling you he's going to keep pushing for this, and he's going to demand that you do this. And if he can't demand it, then he will just try to guilt you into it, saying, what's the big deal? I'm telling you the big deal. People are dying from the COVID-19 vaccinations. People are dying and having serious adverse effects. But they don't want you to know that. You know who else doesn't want you to know that? Big tech doesn't want you to know that, because if you try to publish those things or post those things on big tech platforms, meaning social media, they will suspend your account and they will ban you. Now, there's two little stories here that I want to bring together. The first one is from CNN, in which the co-CEO of an organization called Free Press, believe it or not, Free Press. This is what she brags about. This is what she flexes. She is the co-CEO of something called Free Press. Her name is Jennifer Gonzalez, and she was a guest on CNN, and she was asked about Facebook's responsibility to censor the press or censor the sharing of information with which they do not agree. Listen to this.
That includes COVID conspiracies. And this business model isn't just creepy. It's actually contributing to the death toll. So when I see this kind of comment, and I know that as bad as this problem is in English, it's even worse in Spanish and other non-English languages, I'm really disappointed. We heard from Frances Haugen that Facebook has all the tools and the resources to fix these targeted conspiracy theories, and that it just doesn't want to. So this cavalier attitude, in the same week that we've hit 800,000 COVID deaths in this country, shows a real callous disinterest in Facebook understanding and stemming its own role. Sure, we can't control people, but Facebook has a role that is separate and apart from that, that is driving the flow of hate and lies across its platforms.
So CNN and its guests here from something called Free Press, which has to be the biggest misnomer ever, are they want Facebook to be more suppressive of free speech, because if it's speech that goes against the COVID narrative, it's considered hate speech. If it's considered speech that cites studies done by, I don't know, Columbia University, and it goes against the COVID narrative, then it's misinformation. If there is a post, a social media drive or a push to talk about the CDC-run VAERS statistics that I just told you about, we have to suspend people's accounts for that. Facebook needs to do more to have their fact checkers check these conspiracy theories, is what they say. Which brings me to the second story, the companion to this one. And we talked about it briefly yesterday. Facebook, because of a lawsuit filed by TV journalist John Stossel over the origins, about a post of his about the origins of the 2020 deadly California forest fires, Facebook is now being forced to admit that they don't have facts, that its fact-checking department is consisting of a whole bunch of people giving their opinions. That's right. Facebook, now rebranded and referred to as Meta, claims that its fact-checking program should not be the target of a defamation suit because its attempts to regulate content are done by third-party organizations who are entitled to their opinions. Do you understand this? It's starting to come together, isn't it? It's like doing a puzzle. You ever do a big 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzle? Got it spread out all over the kitchen table or maybe even the floor? It's starting to take shape. You're starting to get an idea of what it's supposed to look like now. The left and the COVID propagandists are doing their level best to push the propaganda and fear on social media and in traditional legacy media. And they are doing their level best to censor and suppress and silence facts that are offered by other scientists and researchers that counter the alleged facts being pushed by the propagandists, and they are censoring and silencing them in order to be able to keep control over the people. And Facebook is saying our fact checkers are no better than the people making the posts. They have opinions, and we're just saying we're substituting the judgment of our opinion makers for that of everyday Americans who post things on Facebook or Twitter or wherever it may be. They're admitting their fact checkers don't have facts, they have opinions. And if those opinions conflict with the opinions of the users, well, then we will censor the users. And guess what? Back to the other one. CNN and their speech suppressors agree. Do more of that. Suppress more of their speech. You're not suppressing enough of it. We want an echo chamber. We want an echo chamber in which the only voices that are heard in the public square are those of propagandists and fear-mongers on MSNBC, CNN, Facebook, Twitter, etc., etc. Anybody who does not repeat the propaganda talking points will and must be silenced. I suspect you have some reactions to this, and I would love to hear them next after the news. 216-901-0945 on The Authority.
Where political correctness goes to die. This is the Bob France Authority on AM 1420, The Answer.
Okay, 9:37. We continue on this Wednesday. Thanks for being with us. Don't forget, Dan Reginald is going to be joining us at 10:10 from Stop Critical Race Theory in Ohio. And we're going to talk about what exactly is going in Ohio. It's dangerous. And we're going to talk about why it is Republicans and conservatives in the Ohio State House are just wastes of time, wastes of energy, wastes of seats, quite frankly. They're wastes of good Republican-held seats in the Ohio General Assembly. Why are they doing nothing to pass the bills that have been introduced to stop critical race theory? This shouldn't be difficult. You got more than enough votes. But you're too cowardly to cross Mike DeWine. That's my guess. I am so nonplussed by the Ohio Republican Party. I just disgusted by the lot of them. I thought it was bad under Dean Timken, and it was, because she was awful. It is no better under Bob Poduchik. It is still awful. I thought it was bad when we had the last leadership in the Ohio General Assembly, which was awful. It is just as bad now with new leadership in terms of Cupp and Huffman, which is awful. This is why people like me, I'm a strong conservative, and I want to register independent. I don't. Because I want to be able to vote in the primaries and primary out the useless half-wits who are occupying these seats. I want to primary them out at every turn. Not that I can vote for all of them, obviously. I'm not in all of their districts, but you get the point. I want to have my say. But I don't feel comfortable registering as a Republican, because Republicans in the state of Ohio, at least the ORP and the way it is run, and the state house, It is pathetic. It is useless. It is useless being a Republican when the Republicans we vote for to give veto-proof supermajorities in the Ohio General Assembly do nothing that we want them to do. It is useless. I just feel so helpless sometimes as a Republican in this state, which has, it is a red state. It is filled with conservatives, and these rhinos are the ones who are representing us. They disgust me, the lot of them. It's not to say that there aren't a handful of them that I get along with, but as a body, just forget about it. And maybe they'll be the reason why Joe Biden is right. Maybe they will make Joe Biden prophetic when Joe Biden pledges that the Democrats are coming back and that the Democrats are going to win in 2022. The Democrats nationwide are going to keep control because they have to keep pounding their message home. Their message of what? I don't know.
I hope you remember what got us to the White House in the first place. In 2020, we won as a unified Democratic Party, more unified than ever. Now we look at 2022. I want to tell my Republican friends, get ready, pal. You're going in for a problem. And we need to stay unified.
I just have to stop it there, because, and I'll let the rest of it play, but just... This guy cannot spit his lies past his dentures clearly, I don't know, ever. Because you're gonna for a problem. Now listen, Bal. Not pal, but listen, Bal. You're gonna for a problem. Isn't that what he said?
Now we look at 2022. I want to tell my Republican friends, get ready, Bal.
Get ready, Bal.
For a problem.
You're going in for a problem.
Tell my Republican friends, get ready, pal. You're going in for a problem.
You're going in for a problem. I mean, it just... I got nothing.
And we need to stay unified. Jamie Harrison is here, and he's doing an outstanding job as the DNC chair. And I also want to thank the DNC vice chairs.
That's enough of that nonsense. I don't care about the rest of them. But seriously, what message are they pounding home that makes them think they're going to win? Record high inflation, higher than it's been in the last 39 years. Let's hammer that record home in 2022. Highest gas prices we've had in 10 years. Let's bring that message to the voters. Unchecked illegal immigration and a porous southern border leading to more drugs being transported across our border in terms of marijuana, cocaine, heroin, and fentanyl than has been done in the history of the country. Let's pound that message home. Supply line disruptions. We can't even fill our shelves in our stores, which are crushing small businesses. Let's bring that message to the voters. We're going to win, Bal. We can't get vehicles on car lots because of semiconductor production that we rely on overseas instead of doing here. Let's bring that home, Bao. China is walking all over us and eating our lunch in trade once again, and we are not even standing up to them when it comes to the genocide of the Uyghurs. While we complain about real oppression here in the United States in this systemically racist nation, let's get that message through, Bao. Let's teach children to hate one another. We're continuing to do that, and let's tell everybody that parents who try to stop it are domestic terrorists. Let's take that message to the voters in 2022, Bao. We're coming and we're going to win. I'm telling you right now, we're going to win, Bao. I'm not making this stuff up. You know I'm not. Listen to him for yourself. This guy is so far off his rocker, he actually thinks he's doing well. And America in unison responds, let's go, Brandon. Did you know Joe Biden didn't even show up at the Army-Navy game on Saturday? Did you see that? The Army-Navy football game, as the Army cadets and the Navy sailors battle and fight for the Commander-in-Chief trophy? The Commander-in-Chief did not even show up at the game. Do you want to know why? You already know why, don't you? Because he did not want to walk into a stadium and have tens of thousands of cadets and sailors chanting in unison, let's go, Brandon. Let's go, Brandon. And that's exactly the greeting he would have gotten, because that's exactly how our troops feel about him. It's exactly how most of America feels about him. How do we know that? 28%. What's your approval rate? 28%. How do people think it? 28%. But we're going to win, Bao. You're gonna for a problem. BJ's in North Olmsted. BJ, you're on AM 1420. The Answer. Thanks for waiting. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, I'd like to give you the three C's that lead to the big R.
Mm-hmm.
Complacence, compliance, and control lead to revolution. Mm-hmm. And that's where we're at. You're going on pretty strongly about a lot of different things right now, and you're quite upset, as you well should be. But the complacency that we're seeing in not only politics, but in all levels of the American life right now, and the compliance with the masks and the shots and the control by government, sooner or later, if it doesn't lead to the revolution of the people of this country saying we've had enough of your political crap and we want to live by the Constitution, is going to go by the wayside. No matter how much we rant about the truth of what's going on, there's the reality we have to deal with, Bob, and I feel badly about you young folks having to be so irate about what's going on in our country, our beautiful country, when we should be living our normal lives, be grateful for the country we live in, the holidays we have, the freedom we have. But it's this compliance, control, and complacency of the American public that has to be wakened. And I don't know if that helps or if I'm adding anything to it. But I have to be optimistic for you younger people, because if I'm not, God help the future generations. And I thank you for your time, and God bless you for what you do, Robert.
Well, thank you, BJ. I appreciate the phone call. Listen, I'll kind of play you against yourself. I don't disagree with your premise, your larger premise, that eventually a revolution is going to be necessary. What that revolution looks like, I'm not going to predict, much less propose. But when you say that complacency is one of the three C's that's going to lead to the R, the revolution, you kind of undid your own message there when you said you feel bad that people in my generation and younger generations have to be so irate about this. The fact that we are irate, my friend, kind of shows you that we're not complacent. We are not sitting here and taking it. Complacency is sitting by or standing by and watching all that we hold dear be taken from us and destroyed from big government, and just feeling like we're not going to do anything about it. The fact that we are irate, the fact that there are organizations out there fighting and winning back school board seats, which kind of we forgot about for maybe a couple of decades, how important that is. primarying out people who are not advocating for their constituencies and are rather advocating for their own agendas shows that we are not complacent. We are irate and we are changing things. The fact that we have put so much pressure on our legislators and our governors and our attorneys general to have 20-some states file federal lawsuits against the Brandon administration for these unholy and unconstitutional vaccine mandates shows we're not complacent. We're fighting, we're pushing, we're doing everything we can to peacefully take back our country and to take back our freedoms. So I get your message, I do, but I don't think we're complacent, and you're right when you say we're irate. And it's that level of anger and that level of being irate about what is happening to us that is driving us to change things. And despite what President Brandon thinks when he says, Bal, that there that we're gonna for trouble, or what is that what it was? Gonna for some trouble. Despite his belief that he is going to be able to run on that Democrat record of, what's the opposite achievement? Failure, I guess. That Democrat record of failure in the first year of the Brandon administration, if he thinks that's going to lead to them, quote-unquote, winning in 2022, we're going to win, Bal. More power to him. Here's what I like. I like President Brandon getting before that crowd and trying to make them cheer about getting about winning in 2022 because they're all there donating their millions of dollars to the DNC. I like his message that says we're going to keep doing what we're doing. And that's outstanding. I want you to ponder that for a second. A president who just got the worst news of his presidency from a political standpoint, that his approval rating has dropped, particularly with the inflation and economy aspects, to 28% support. And those are blind partisans who actually don't support him. They just cannot stand the prospect of Donald Trump or another Trump-like Republican coming back. But 28% approval rating. 28%. 28%. 69% disapproval, including strong disapproval ratings in the purple states. He hears those numbers and then takes to the podium and says, we're going to keep doing what we're doing. He's going to keep the same policies in place. We're going to keep pounding home the message, he said. The message of double gas prices, higher taxes, fewer jobs. And I know they say, we've created more jobs. No, you haven't. You haven't created a single job. You took people's jobs away from them for an entire year last year, and now they're coming back and going back to the jobs they had. And you say, I created a job. No, you didn't. We're talking about businesses that are closed. We're talking about inflation that is through the roof. We're talking about energy costs that very easily could be controlled and handled by reversing your policies and going back to the Trump policies that made us literally energy independent to the point where our energy costs last year were at all-time lows. But instead of changing things and saying, we're getting killed, my approval rating is 28%, Kamala's is even worse. The people hate the way this country looks right now. I came in saying, I've got a plan on how to crush the virus, and the virus is raging as bad as it did last year. They're going back to new mask mandates in California, New York, and Pennsylvania, or at least in Philadelphia. Nobody likes the way this country is headed right now, and my message is going to be to the big dollar donors, we're going to keep doing the same thing. I love that. I'd be a little frightened and a little worried, quite frankly, if he went before his big donors and in front of cameras like this and said, you know what, we're going to have to change our approach. This isn't working. We recognize that. Americans are suffering, and we've got a plan to fix that. We're gonna go off of the course that we were on, and we're gonna do some things differently, and we're gonna fix this for America. If he did that, I'd be worried, because then moderates' ears would prick up and they'd say, oh, wait, maybe we don't have to go back to the Republicans. The Democrats stink right now, but they're gonna fix some things. They're gonna make a change in their approach. Maybe they're gonna abandon Build Back Brandon. Maybe they're gonna abandon Green New Deal. Maybe they're gonna actually open a couple of pipelines back up. Maybe they're going to actually allow leases to be granted on federal lands for natural gas exploration and oil. maybe they're going to do something about crime in America, and they're going to actually support police departments with new federal funding. Maybe they're going to do something better. Maybe then we can indeed keep the Democrats in power. But thankfully, they're too stupid to realize that's their roadmap to victory. They're too stupid to think that what they're doing is wrong, because that would actually take some self-reflection. That would actually take some self-realization, some actualization that maybe we're not as smart as we thought we were. We got to rethink this. They'll never do that. They're too cocky. They're too arrogant. They're too narcissistic. So let them continue to brag about how they're doing at 28%, and let's roll that into 2022. Joe, I'll take my chances. Let's make it happen. I'll be right back. Super quick. I shouldn't laugh. Bad news, Browns fans. Baker Mayfield and Kevin Stefanski, according to News 5, are both COVID positive. So the quarterback and the head coach are both likely going to have to miss Sunday's game, unless they get a couple of negative tests between now and Sunday. But they are both COVID positive. And, of course, I don't need to remind you that both, like 99% of the NFL players, are double vaccinated. What? How can that be? Double vaccinated. Remember, Joe Biden, Brandon said, get double vaccinated so you can protect yourself and others. Well, where's that protection? Baker May, I'm not trying to mock the Browns, although the hell with the NFL as far as I'm concerned, but in all seriousness, in a league full of double vaccinated people, how is this pandemic of the unvaccinated striking them? Bob in Medina, you're on the air, sir. Go right ahead.
Yeah, hey, Bob. You just stole my thunder. I think it's not funny, but the NFL is really going out of their way, to not make me a fan, including the Browns and their, it's just, I'm like-minded like you, Bob, but that's not what I called for. Now, wouldn't you agree that times are changing fast? I mean, really, really fast, as far as our society, our morals, and all of that stuff.
Yeah, I would say that's true, yeah.
Okay. Well, and, I'm a believer, pretty strong believer, and this is my belief, that the enemy knows that the time is running out. I mean, he's already got his destiny, which is the lake of fire. Misery loves company, Bob. Misery loves company, so they're going to bring, as much people down with him, until that day comes. And so what I would do is I would like to just, can I recommend a good read?
Sure, go ahead.
C.S. Lewis.
Sure, of course. Everybody should read C.S. Lewis.
Screwtape Letters. Read that. And that's, and you may agree with me that that's for the undecided, as well as to guard them, as well as the decided to really, be on the lookout. I mean, to act with the urgency, what you've been, telling us all to do. That all comes together, Bob. I mean, I really believe it,
It really does. It really does, my friend. I've got to go here, Bob. I appreciate the call because it's the top of the hour. We've got a guest waiting on the other side. As we go into this news, though, I want to remind people that you can really make a difference in the lives of people who need it right now by donating to the truck that Mario Innocenzi and his barbershop, Mario's barbershop, that they're filling right now for a trip down to Kentucky. The tornado victims from just this past weekend are in a very, very bad way, and Mario's barbershop is doing what they always do when there's a catastrophe. They are taking donations of unwrapped holiday toys and gifts for kids, non-perishable food items, household supplies, diapers, and gift cards for families. They're filling this truck truck. It will be driving to Kentucky to help those most affected. Please bring donations to 7562 Broadview Road in the Pleasant Valley Shopping Center in Parma. That's Mario's Barbershop. If you've got any questions whatsoever, call Mario so you can make your donations at 216-520-1977. It is it's extraordinarily important, and thank you to Mario for being a champion for those in need. News time now. We'll come back with Dan Reginold on AM 1420 The Answer.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.